Maseches Chulin has been dedicated in honor of Leslie Westreich, Elazar Meir ben Harav Yehoshua, a great chavrusa and friend. The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Chulin Daf Tzadik Beis. We discussed in the previous shiurim the Isser of Gid HaNoshe, and we discussed that Gid HaNoshe Be'etzim is something that's not Roy Lachil. The Gemara says, Ein Begidim. The Gemara brings that as a Machlokes. Tanoim, Yesh Begidim Minayisim Tam. Ein Begidim Minayisim Tam. We discussed that according to the Rambam, the Rajba, and other Rishonim, the Pshat is not Ein Begidim Minayisim Tam at all, but it's a Tam Kolush. It's not considered the regular way of enjoying ingested foods. Mele wouldn't have been also except for a special Chiddush HaKro. We also explained that there's a concept of in Machos Asuris, we could talk about the object, the item, the chayfetz itself not being a chatich disura, whereas we could talk about a different idea that the maisa achila, if a person eats something in an unusual way, it's not that the chayfetz is not a chatich disura, but it's that the maisa achila, per se is not a maisa achila. We discussed this with a ramification from the Prima Gadim. The Rambam, we pointed out, would seem not that way. Let's go back to this idea, because this is important for a chiddush that Rav Shach says in Gid HaNoshe, and now we'll introduce something else. Not only Gid HaNoshe, but Evim Min HaChai. Evim Min HaChai, which is something else that's discussed prominently in these dafim in front of us, is another part of the animal that's awesome. Evim Min HaChai contains, the Gemara says, a person can only be over Evim Min HaChai, which is a limb that was ripped off an animal before the Shechita. He ate a limb of an animal. What's called eating from a limb from an animal? Normally a person eats a piece of meat. He's not eating a limb. So what does it mean, a limb? He certainly doesn't swallow it all in one go. So what does it mean the person eats a limb? The Gemara says that in the achila, question is one bite, does it have to be mamish together? But the achila has to contain basar, gidim v'atzomos. Has to contain all the components of a limb. A limb is not just flesh, it's not just basar, which is roi l'achila, but it's gidim v'atzomos, the bones and the sinews which make up the working parts of a limb of an animal as well as a person. And when a person eats those three, he's eating the issa of evi menachai. The nafkmin is l'gabi ashir, by the way. A basar menachai, he's over only if he eats a kazayis, like any machol sasuris. Evi menachai, since it has a chshivus onto its own, he's over even if he eats pochas mikazayis. In any case, l'choira, the $50,000 question is, that when a person eats basar gidim v'atzomos, he's certainly eating something which is not roi l'achila. How is that a maisa achila of macholos asurois? So here also we have to say the same thing we said by Gid HaNoshe, that even though ain't be gidim v'nois in tam, but the Torah rendered that a maisa achila. And in the middle we would have the same discussion we brought up, what happens if a person would mix in something that would ruin the taste of it. Would that take away the status of Isser? There's a Prima Gadim, there happens to be a Reb Kiv Eger over there that disputes the Prima Gadim that we spoke out. The Prima Gadim we spoke out by Chometz, but the same thing is over here. Anytime the Torah rendered something an Achila, the Torah said that is a Chefza Disur, it is a Chaticha Disur, even though it's not Royal Achila. The Torah said, despite that normally you wouldn't eat it, but the Torah said that it is also. But if you ruined it, Mitzad Acher, you mixed in something that made it Ois Maisa Achila, whether that would, the Torah disregarded its ineligibility for a normal Achila or no. The Torah only was mechadish legabe the thing itself, but if there's another reason why it's not a ma'isa achila, so then the ma'isa achila would not be halachically viable, you would not be over. Rav Shach happens to say legabe, the two of them, legabe Evi Menachai, and legabe Gid HaNoshe, that the Torah never was machshiv a ma'is achil, which is not a ma'is achil. The only way that you'll be over. He brings other examples, like we said, Sa'or by Pesach, Chometz Nuksha, which is also not royal achil, if a person eats it, he's over alav. There's another example also, the Torah specifically says that a nozer, not only is he not allowed to eat grapes, drink wine, he's also not allowed to eat the vine of that grapes grow from. Vines are not royal achil. So obviously the Torah asked it something, even though normally it wouldn't be considered a ma'isa achila. L'moshel, if a person ate vines on Yom Kippur, he certainly would not be chayiv koris. It's not a ma'aser achila. But l'gavi anozer, they specifically asked it. So if Shach says that all these type of things are only also if they were put into a pot in a way that would make it viable to eat, which means sort of the flip side of the prima gadim. What Rav Shach is saying, Rabbi Ezri is in Ovis HaTumah Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, is that the Torah was only mechadish that these things are a chaticha di surah. But you still have to do a ma'isa achila. Where is the ma'isa achila? Where's the ma'isa achila if you ate something in a way that's not roy? So what you would have to is you'd have to, in order to be over, that is, would only be if there's a lot of meat and other things weird, sort of the vine or over here the soil or the bones, everything became part. It became all part of the cholent, and memele rendered it roi l'achila. It softened up and made it roi l'achila. But if it couldn't be considered part of a normal ma'isa achila, the fact that the Torah considered a chaticha d'isur, you would not be over, because you still have to do a ma'isa achila. Which means, of course, that if you mixed in something which ruined the taste, then of course you wouldn't be over. That's from Shach's Deo. We discussed in the previous shurim without this chiddush, because it doesn't seem to be the pashtus. The Pesach don't point it out. The Pashtus is that if the Torah said you're over, despite it being not roi l'achila, that is true across the board, whether you ate it in a way which could be considered a viable ma'aser achila or whether you did not eat it in that way. However, there is still a makom l'chalak between the two nidonim that we have in our parak, Gid HaNosha, which ain't begid b'nei sinam, and normally it wouldn't be a ma'aser achila without the achshavei hakro l'ma'aser achila. And the other case, which we're introducing now, of Basa Gidim Vatzomais, there is a Chiddush. There is a Chilik between the two of them, and this is a Chiddush that Reb Chaim Brisker talks about in the Chiddush of Reb Chaim Halevi in Perek Dalav Machalos Asuris. Reb Chaim explains that Basa Gidim Vatzomais, it's not the pshat that you're over, but when you eat Gidim Vatzomais, there's no Maisachil and Gidim Vatzomais. He says the Maisachil is on the Basa, and it's the eating of the bosa from a bal chai in a way where it has a tsura of an eved. It means that the gidim v'atzomos are not something you're eating by itself. It's mitzuruf with the bosa to be considered a ma'isachil. If a person would eat gidim v'atzomos by itself, it's mavur in the gemara by us, and peke that nosher, he wouldn't be over. The only way he'd be over is if he ate bosa gidim v'atzomos. Simela, the ma'isa iser is not so much the gidim v'atzomos, it's the ma'isa iser of eating an eiver, and eating from an eiver certainly can have a ma'isa achila. The chaticha d'isura can be considered together a chaticha d'isura because it contains an element which is bosa, which is roi l'achila. That's the way Reb Chaim says it. By Gid HaNosha, obviously it wouldn't be true because the Gid HaNosha is not also to eat together with the meat surrounding it. The Gid HaNosha is also to eat by itself. If you're eating it by itself, it's not a chatik d'sur, then you have to say the Torah turned it into a chatik d'sur. It's possible that the Hesber is, lefi, what we explained in the previous shurim, that many Rishonim hold, that yesh begidim v'nois in tam, at least the tam kolush, the Torah was machshiv, at least that tam kolush, for being considered a ma'is achila. But gidim v'atzomois are not roi because they're too hard. Gidim v'atzomos, the reason why you're not over is because they're too, not because they don't have taste. It's because they're too hard. Normally a person doesn't feel comfortable swallowing them. So there you would have to say, not because the tam is enough to be considered an issa, that's the chiddush akro. The chiddush akro is to be mevatel the gidim v'atzomos to the aver as a whole. The aver as a whole, since it has basar, would be considered a ma'aser achila on the entirety of the aver, which consists of the basar gidim v'atzomos. That's Reb Chaim's chilik between Gid HaNosha and between Eiver Minachai. We'll point out another place where this chilik possibly, theoretically, plays itself out. There's a very difficult halach in Shulchan Aruch to understand. It comes from the Rashi in Teres Habayis. It's in Yeridei Simen Kuf Siv Beis. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if Gid HaNosha gets mixed into a pot of food, it needs shishim, or machalos asuris, on his battle b'shishim. Bittul b'shishim is the classic concept of issa v'heter, and Gid HaNosha as well. Now, l'chore em b'gidim v'nois in tam, there's nothing there to ask for the rest of the pot. It doesn't infuse taste with the principle of tam ke'ikah. There's no reason why the rest of the pot should be osur, just because the Gid HaNosha is osur. What do you have to say? it would seem like what you have to say, the Pichodesh is matmi on this halacha and Shulchan Aruch and on the Rashba. The Paiskim all use different nuschos. It would seem you have to use the nusach of, like we said, the Rashba, l'shitoso, that gid anosha, it's not the pshat that there is no tam. The Torah was machshiv the tam at least enough to be considered an achilo. If that's true, then the Torah was also machshiv that tam, even though really it doesn't infuse real taste. But the Torah infused that taste in a way that's called iser. You need shishim to be mevatlet. It's chiddush. Because l'chayra, who says that the Torah is speaking about even where it was infusing its taste into something else? Chiddush. That's the Rashba's Chiddush. That if it's osur, despite the fact that it normally doesn't have taste, but the Torah considered that enough of a taste, the tam kolish that is, to asur, so that would be true also with taruvus. Okay. What about Pasuk Gidim Atzamas? You took a whole aver of aver menachai, and it was, put into a pot. Do you need shishin to be mevatel that? Why do you talk about that? The Torah only asked the Gidim Atzamas in tandem be his batlus as part of the Eva, which is primarily Basar. The Torah asked Gidim Atzamas? Of course not. So you would need Shishim Keneged the whole thing, the Basar Gidim Atzamas? No. You would need Shishim Keneged the Basar, not Keneged the Gidim Atzamas. Look at Tzedava Pashut. We're explaining it with the same idea that we just said from Reb Chaim, that there's a fundamental chiluk between the two Yisurim of Eva Menachai and Gid Anosha insofar as this Nakuda, the Achshveh of something that's not Roy Lachila, to be considered halakhically as Roy Lachila. I'd like to delve now into what we have in the letter in front of us is a lot of Agad to Gemaris, and it would seem that the Chazal always put whole sugis in Agadah with is an important thought process to be developed. Agad to Gemaras are not just sprinkled through Shas in order to give us a break from learning the hard sugyas, but it is there to give direction in the prokim as to the underlying, the panemius of what these inyanim are about. And what's interesting, Lamashal, the mishalim that are used by Chazal, the penetrating mishalim about Olam Habo and Olam Hazeh and Ruchnius and Gashmius and the relationship between the two are in Bava Basra Perek HaMoichas HaSvina, which talks about taking a journey, so to speak, metaphorically, through life. Life is a boat ride through an ocean, a stormy ocean of Olam Hazeh, being Oymed B'Nisyonos before reaching the final port, which is Olam Habo. Over here also, the struggle between Yaakov and Esau, and a lot of the details of Klal Yisrael going into Golus, are discussed over here in the Sugya of Gid Anosha. And I'd like to point out something we started the Perek discussing, which is that the Macholos HaSuras Bechlal are discussed extensively in Perek Gid Anosha. A lot of the sugis, which make up the bulk of Yerideh Avisa V'Heter, don't have to do specifically with Gid Anosha. Gid Anosha is the least of Macholos HaSuras. But the next two prokhim are full of the different types of taruvis. If Chelev, if Nevelev, Shchita, Nevela, Trefa, any type of Macholos HaSuras. Does it ask Kalim? Does it ask, do you need Shishim? Do you need Bittul Baroyim? All those sugis are here. And they're all in Perek Gid Anosha. V'amikroim et Darsheni. I'd like to delve into that for a few minutes. The idea of Gid Anosha, we have over here, we just finished discussing Gid Anosha, Eiv Menachai, comparing, dissecting the differences between the two. Both of them are Isurim that come from before Matan Torah. Eiv Menachai was given to Bnei Noach, the Psukim of Parshas Noach, Darshan Eva Menachai as an Issa, as one of the Shemis Bnei Noach, Gid Anosha is written in Parshas Vayishlach, Alken Lo Yoichim Nei Yisrael is Gid Anosha, because Gid Anosha was the part of the goof of Yaakov Avinu, that the Malach was Menatzeach over. He was able to pull Vayiga Bekaf Yerach Yaakov, and he hobbled Ad Baya Shemesh when he was healed. What is that telling us? What is the struggle that's described? The Gemara in front of us over here, that Tzadik Al Tzadik Beis, describes Vayovekish Imoy Ad Aloy Sashacha. And that Aloy Sashacha, by the way, Chazal referred to as Lasid Lavoy. Chazal, they made a song out of it, but the Maimah Chazal is very telling, where Chazal Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoy. That Levadoy is the same Levadoy as is said, the Medrash says, in the end of days, of Vinizga Vashem Levadei Bayomahu, at the end of time, when all the Avodah Zarah and all the Sheker and all the bluff of Olam Hazeh will go up in smoke, All that will disappear. The only thing that will be left standing as reality is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nizgu Hashem Levadei. Yaakov Avinu was left in a moment of truth by himself. Yaakov Avinu is the Ishtam. Yoyshev HaHolim. He represents the pinnacle of Midas HaEmes. Titin Emes LeYaakov Chesed LaAvrom. Yaakov represents the pinnacle. Yaakov is the Tmus Chokuk HaKisei Kvoidei Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov Avinu is left alone and the epitome of Sheker. The Sorei Shel Esav meets up with him, Sheker for all time. The Sheker that we live in, the Sheker of Korban HaBayis. The Sheker of all time is represented primarily in Esav. The Gemara brings in front of us the Pasuk. Yechazemen HaChazir Miyoar, Esav's Demel HaChazir. Chitzayni is, he's Mar himself Kebehem HaKshere, because he has split hooves. But inside, as far as what he eats, you are what you eat, like we described. There Esav is a chazir. The chazir is kuloi sheker. It's kuloi mara atzmei kosher b'chitzonius, even though b'pnimius he's treif. And that sheker, that bluff, comes into violent contact with Yaakov Avinu v'yovik ishimai ad aloi sashacher. Davak, the Gemara says by us, davak was olo ad l'kisek of the dust. What's that dust? That's the dust that obscures reality, like we're saying. It obscures the reality of Ayivosish Levado. The Levado is the person who's sitting, concentrating on his Avoida. It's obscuring the Ishtama Yesh Ve'olim. That Avak is the epic struggle that defines Klal Yisrael and Sorei Shel Esav. At the end of time, Advoy Hashemesh Yaakov Avinu will be cured. And Yaakov Avinu Vayove Shalom. When Yaakov Avinu came into Eretz Yisrael, to the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael, he came, like the Rashi says in Chumash, in that parasha, at the end of the perek, Yaakov was Yovoi Teshchem, Sholem Sholem, B'mamoinoi Sholem, B'gufoi Sholem, B'teirosoi, but until then, until the sun rises, there's a struggle. There's a struggle that takes place in the darkness, and it's the struggle between Yaakov and Esav. Where was Sorei Shel Esav Matzliach? Was Matzliach in taking a bite, so to speak, out of Yaakov Avinu? Is Sorei Shel Esav, is the golus that we live in, Matzliach, in destroying Klal Yisrael? No. Where does it destroy? Vayeovekish imoy, vayiga bekaf Yerech Yaakov. There's different pshatim what the kaf Yerech Yaakov represents symbolically. One of the pshatim of Chazal is the tamchin deraisa. The Sorei Shel Esav has no koyach to be pegim in Torah, per se. Has no koyach to be poigim in limud Torah. Has a koyach to be poigim b'tamchin d'oraisa. Tamchin d'oraisa is the monetary, the physical support system of Torah. Loim de Torah themselves are not affected by the sheker around. What is affected is the worldview, the enthusiasm, and the connectedness, and the dedication of those around those loim de Torah. The ones that are sitting in the Beis Medrash are safe from the world of sheker around. How much are those that are not sitting in the Beis Medrash the whole day affected by the sheker of Olam Hazeh Chitzonius? And how much are they able to keep up their level of inspiration, their level of dedication supporting Torah? That's what the Medrash is pointing to. As it states in Zohar, that at the end of time, Yaakov Avinu will be nifka only in the Tamchin Deraisa. Another pshat that Chazal say is going to be nifka b'derei shel shmad. Klal Yisrael as a whole cannot be affected by Sorei Shel Esav, but there are fallouts. There are at risk. There are people that fall away from Klal Yisrael. That Derech Shel Shmad is an outgrowth of that Noga B'Kafi Yakshoyak. In any case, the Avak, that's all Adla Kisekov, does have an effect. It does affect us negatively. And because of that, every time a Yid bites into the animal world, he bites into an animal, he remembers symbolically that the physical world has a danger. It has a red light. That red light is called Sorei Shel Esav. There's a dust that obscures reality, obscures Midas HaEmes, and Memela, every time we eat from meat, we shecht it, we eat only the parts of the animal that are beneficial, that can be brought into our system to be absorbed into our role as being Adam, not a behema. But there's a part of that behema that we leave out symbolically. There's no taste in the Gedan Asher. We leave it out because the outside world, the physical world, the world of the behema, can influence us, and it does influence. We're limping until the coming of the sun, until the Vayivasa Ish Levadai, until the Rabbanu Shalom reveals himself, V'nizga V'Hashem Levadai. We're limping, and we have to be careful, we have to be cognizant of the fact that we are limping. We leave out the Gedan Asher. That's the Isser of Gedan Asher. In that sense, it's maybe we could postulate that the reason why the din of taruvis of Issa, the main focus of the sugis in our parak coming up the next bunch of letter, is taruvis Issa v'heter. What's taruvis Issa v'heter? We have a pot of cholent, a little bit of chela fell in. It's not the cholent that's treif. The cholent itself is kodesh kadoshim. Cholent itself is a Yiddish Michael, and should be eaten on Shabbos, and should be eaten l'shem mitzvah. What's the problem is what fell in. How does that influence? What taste does it give? What nice and tam levgam does it give to our neshamas? The root of that, of being influenced by that tam, that's imparted into our world, by the world outside, by the world of Sheker, by the world of Esav, which surrounds us, is the Isser of Gid Hanosha. And maybe in the context of the Isser of Gid Hanosha, we understand why Chazal wrote so many of the Inyonim of Golus, the struggle, the Sheker, the limping that we have, because we're surrounded, because we struggle with that Sheker, why Chazal saw fit to write it in this parak. The Rebbein Shalom should give us the clarity to be able to see through the smoke screen, through the avak, and we should be able to see the Kisei HaKavod. We should be able to all reach for the Kisei HaKavod and be zeicher to see the day when v'nizgav Hashem levadei b'yayim mahu.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.